I've got the pianist Laura Downs here with me talking about her new album. Before I do that, however, I want to introduce you. And you know, Laura, different people introduce you in different ways. I'm looking at your bio here, and I've got everything besides, of course, you're a pianist. You're also a producer, a curator, an activist, an arts advocate, a cultural visionary, not to mention the fact that you're also, you know, a wonderful radio host out there in California. And you're also a seasoned interviewer with your Amplify video series from NPR Music. So maybe it would be better if you kind of tell us a little bit about yourself. How would you describe yourself and what you do as an artist?
Yeah, I mean, I love that you are starting this way, because these are all facets of my musicianship, you know, and it's taken me a lifetime in music to see them all come together. But funny, last week I was on the road for the first time in a year and a half, and I was working with some young students at the Brevard Festival in North Carolina. And what I was talking about with them is letting yourself be all the parts of yourself as a musician from the beginning. You know, yes, I'm a pianist. I've been playing the piano since I was 4 years old. That's at the root of all of these things. That's why I can do them. And that's why, you know, they've come into my orbit. But I think I'm so fortunate in my life now that my music making includes, you know, what I do at the keyboard, and also this kind of storytelling and advocacy and just expansion of maybe the definition that I always knew of being a musician.
Yeah. Well, looking at your Twitter feed, you're described as an artist slash amplifier. So I think that resonates with what you're saying. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about your album. It's called New Day Begun, and this is from a record label or project that you started called Rising Sun Music. I wonder if you can tell us a little bit about Rising Sun Music and its mission, its activities, and how this album in particular, New Day Begun, came to fruition.
I've been for a decade or so really immersed in the world of American concert music. The, you know, both the what we know part and the what we don't know part, especially the what we don't know part. And I've been on a kind of a quest to discover all of the, like, the just the fullness of the American musical landscape. So, you know, what that has meant in very practical terms is a discovery process of music, of the, you know, the music of sort of underrepresented composers, by women, by composers of color. And it's been a fascinating journey, and it's really changed the way that I look at my musical heritage. And I think it's opened up a lot of possibilities for listeners through my recordings and other projects. And one of the striking things that I realized along the way is that when it comes to music by Black composers, we keep hearing the same story over and over again. He was the first and she was the only, right? That's, you know, William Grant Still was the first Black composer to do this, and Florence Price was the first Black composer to do that. And after I'd been hearing that story over and over again, I was like, but wait a minute, you know, everybody can't be the first, you know? And then, of course, as you learn more about this tradition, you understand very quickly that all of these stories, all of this music, all of these people were profoundly interconnected. So, I guess it's about a year ago now, I decided to start a record label that would be devoted to music by Black composers, and specifically to recording music that had not yet been recorded or that has been sort of, you know, marginally, archivally recorded, because I was finding so much music and it needs to be heard. And so I wrote a grant to the Sphinx Organization, and when I look back, it makes me laugh, because my original grant proposal was to record 20 pieces of music that I had identified as needing world premiere recordings. Yeah. I got the money. By the time the grant came through, those 20 pieces of music had expanded into at least 100. And the Rising Sun Music label was born in February of this year, and we've been putting out an EP every month of four or five tracks of pieces that, as I said, you know, haven't yet been recorded. And I don't mean new, you know, these are pieces that go back 100 years that have never been recorded. Yeah. So New Day Begun is the first full-length album on this project. And it's a compilation both of things that have been previously released on the label as singles and also new recordings.
Well, there's some wonderful, wonderful music on this disc. And some of it, you know, will be familiar to listeners. Some of it will not be familiar to listeners. Let's talk a little bit about New Day Begun, because that's a quote itself, which comes mm-hmm. from the Black National Anthem, Lift Every Voice and Sing. And you have this recording of the Variations on that melody, which is yes. by Letty Alston. Speaking of folks who were the first in their field, Letty Alston was the first African-American women composer to get a doctorate at the University of Michigan. Fun little fact there. Mm-hmm. And University of Michigan, of course, is in our listening area. So there's a local connection there. Can you talk a little bit about the way that you pick and chose the 15 different little tracks that you have on this particular CD?
Well, the big picture of this album is the quote from Lift Every Voice. Sing a song full of the hope that the present has brought us, facing the rising sun of our new day begun. I wanted to find music that illustrates this feeling of, you know, the hope for a new era. I think that's where we all are in our thinking and our wishing and our doing. You know, we're certainly at a crossroads in our history, and I am hoping that many good things are born out of the darkness that we've been experiencing. So that was sort of the contextual piece. As far as the Letty B. Alston arrangement or fantasy on set of variations on Lift Every Voice, I was just so thrilled to find that piece of music. And that was just sort of the result of some internet rabbit hole looking. But it's a brilliant piece. And I think that one of the wonderful things about it is that the song itself, you know, travels this emotional journey from both acknowledging darkness and, you know, pain and loss and injustice, and also looking forward to a future when a brighter future and a new day. And I think that she accomplishes that with the music. She kind of travels an emotional range. There are moments that are profoundly are intimate, that are kind of regretful, and then there's sort of a sense of humor and a brightness and a triumph. So it does a beautiful job of capturing the many feelings of this song.
Now, that is a world premiere recording, right? You've got quite a few
yes.
on here that are world premiere
yes.
recordings. Mm-hmm. Some from composers even as well known as Margaret Bonds, or somebody like the jazz singer Abby Lincoln. You know, well, that's an arrangement. But was anything on this recording actually written specifically for you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Several of the pieces were written for me and for the recording. Carlos Simon, Like Moons and Like Suns, which was inspired by Maya Angelou's poem, and Nkeru Okoye, When Young Spring Comes, also inspired by poetry. There's a lot of poetry floating around, inspired by a poem from Langston Hughes. Daniel Rumain's Prayer is, it's from his violin concerto, but this is a new arrangement that he made for this recording with the Public Quartet.
There's such diversity here, given the fact that you've focused on, you know, 100 years of cultural music. And there's a bit of a narrative, I sense, in this album. I mean, you start with that classic Sam Cooke song, A Change Is Gonna Come, in an arrangement. And then you finish with I Dream a World by Andre Thomas. So there's sort of a story here to be called. What for you, how would you characterize, you know, going into this album, A Change Is Gonna Come, and coming out of it, I Dream a World? How do you want people to listen to this album? What do you want them to get out of it if you, you know, had control over that aspect of people listening?
I guess what I would say is that the notion of change is really what we're built on in America. And I think that change is always a combination of what we do and what we dream. You know, you have to, whatever you're doing, whatever change you're making, whether it's me trying to expand the, you know, the canon of classical music, or all of us, you know, in the streets last summer trying to address questions of justice and, you know, progress, you do that thing and you also have to keep dreaming at the same time. You're always dreaming of a better world. That's what puts you forward into the next day when you do something again. And I wrestle with this. I think we all do, because neither of those things can exist without the other. So starting with a change is going to come, for me, was meaningful because it's a song that belonged to my parents. You know, it's a song that belonged to the civil rights movement and was very much rooted in that time and those issues. But when I really, when the song really connected with me was when President Obama used it in his acceptance speech when he was first elected. And in that moment, I heard it differently. I heard the active change in it, you know, that we together, we make the change. We're not just like waiting for the change. We're doing the change. But at the same time, we can only make the change and do the change because we're still dreaming about the change. Yeah. So I think that's what it is. I think that this album keeps moving back and forth between the doing and the dreaming.
You know, you made a really interesting point in one of your Amplify conversations. I think it was with singer Will Liverman. And mm-hmm. you were talking about how you sort of look forward to the day when somebody would write an opera about a black person, protagonist, and they basically did nothing. They went to work, they came home. You know, it wasn't mm-hmm. some huge story of tragedy or that they were the first at this or they were, you know, portrayed in that light of having to face all the collective oppression that came before. I wonder, for those of us, you know, you're a radio host, you bring music to listeners every single day. What's the responsibility or what is your suggestion for us getting from point A to point B, you know, in the way that we present music and the way that we engage with our audience? How do we get to that vision that you talked about with Will Liverman, where it's not a specialized, compartmentalized thing, right?
Right. Yeah. Oof, that's a big question.
Yeah. I want to know what your feelings are on the subject.
My feelings right now are super complicated about this because I think that, as you said, point A to point B, it needs to happen in different phases, and maybe some of the phases are uncomfortable. I think that right now, there's both an excitement and maybe in some areas a discomfort, because all of a sudden there's a focus on acknowledging and celebrating voices that have not been present. But my dream, here's where my doing and my dreaming come together. My dream is that in some years, these voices, these names, these pieces of music will be as familiar as others. And so we won't have to constantly be saying, look at this, it's just as good as, you know, or it's right. as important as, or it's important that you listen to this, because I want to get to a place where we can separate out, you know, big social narratives about race and injustice and, you know, I mean, these things that of course they surround everything we do, but they shouldn't be at the center. We should be able to listen to a piece by Margaret Bonds or by Florence Price or by Daniel Romain without having to impose the weight of American history upon them every time.
Yeah.
You know, just like we listen to, I don't know, we listen to Gershwin, and we're not listening to Gershwin through the lens of like the immigrant experience, you know, for example.
Right. That's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. American music. And I think that my what's really driving me is that this music sounds so familiar. It has inside of it all the things that we know and all the things that we are. And so I don't think it's hard to get to love it.
Now, tell us just a little bit about your collaborators, because this is one of those recordings that you've done with your friends, people that are in your classical orbit that have joined forces with you for this recording. Can you tell us about some of the other folks that we can hear on this album?
Yes, I would love to tell you about my friends. I'll just go down in order of appearance. Jordan Bach is maybe the most amazing violist I've ever heard. I keep telling him, I think he's just putting an end to viola jokes. And he joins me for this beautiful piece called The Ecstasy of Love by H. Leslie Adams, who is a wonderful composer who I believe is turning 90 this year. Yeah. Whose music I had first discovered through Thomas Hampson, who is a big fan of his vocal music. So Jordan and I had a wonderful time putting that piece together. Titus Underwood, who's the first oboist of the Nashville Symphony, brilliant player. We came together. This is our second collaboration on the Rising Sun series. We did a piece by William Grant Still on the very first EP, and then this arrangement of Florence Price's Adoration. Devon Tynes is a dear friend, and Devon and I discovered this piece, this Margaret Bond song, together. Just before the pandemic started, we were in Boston together working on doing a concert together. And I had the first edition of this song, courtesy of my friend Michael Cooper, who was working on the Bond's editions. And Devon and I just sight read it together at our rehearsal break and fell in love with this piece, which is really about human connection and redemption. So I'm just very happy that we were able to bring that piece into this mix.
And the dove enters into his soul.
And then Regina Carter, who joins me for Abby Lincoln's Caged Bird, is just, I mean, I'm basically just a huge fan. She's, you know, she's an artist who has made such a fascinating career and has done things her own way and travels, you know, so with such comfort among genres and styles and musical traditions. And I just love the independence and the creativity that's always present in her work. Public Quartet, brilliant, innovative, young ensemble out of New York City. We've known each other and worked together many times. And they're fantastic improvisers, what you hear on the Duke Ellington Come Sunday, just the third track on the album, just sort of happened spontaneously in the studio. And lastly, then the album closes with this collaboration with the vocal ensemble Tonality, which is based in Los Angeles and is a group really dedicated to music that has a social justice component to it. They've been fantastic locally in really reaching out to, you know, a broad diversity of communities in the LA area, and also they just sound really great. So so that was a nice way to close out the album. And I also should definitely mention Jeremy Siskind, who did the wonderful arrangements for me of A Change Is Gonna Come and and Yubi Blake's Love Will Find a Way, and also our arrangement of Caged Bird. Jeremy's been just a really important voice on this project as well.
Yeah, there's so many wonderful pieces of music on here. Discoveries of music by familiar composers and discovery of composers that I wasn't familiar with. Some of them, you know, living, breathing composers who are with us writing right now. If you were to pick a track for us to go out on, maybe you don't want to pick one with any of your friends because you don't want to play favorites, but if you, you know, if there's something that you think we can go out on, what would it be?
You know, what's really dear to my heart is Summerland, which I just happen to think is one of the most beautiful pieces of music ever written for the piano, and also has this idea of, you know, a better place, a better day. In the case of the composer, it was his vision of, you know, the afterlife. But I like to think of Summerland as, you know, the new day, the brighter day that we can make through our dreaming and our doing.
Pianist Laura Downs' new album is called New Day Begun. You can find that on all the major streaming and download platforms. You can also find it at Laura's website. I should spell her name for you just in case. That's LaraDownes, LauraDownes.com. Laura, thank you for spending some time talking about the wonderful music on this disc. And, you know, let me also thank you personally for all the work that you've done to bring so much of this music to light through your recordings. It's really been a wonderful experience listening to it.
Thank you so much. It means really a lot.